a blessed assurance this morning. Amen?
Amen, amen.
Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, tomorrow, always the same. Thank you, Jesus. Take your Bible, or I bet you I'm safe in this crowd to say take your Bible. And turn to the Gospel of John chapter 1, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. And just so you know, Pastor Dunstan and Jessica and his immediate family are in Nairobi, Kenya as we speak, and that may be the last time they get to the kids, see their great-grandmom, and Jessica sees her grandparents. So just continue to lift them up with prayer as well. In his 19, have anybody heard of E. Stanley Jones? You have, wow, figures. But in his 1942 devotional, Abundant Living, he was a Methodist doctor and a missionary to India, and he writes, "The early Christians did not say in dismay, 'Look what the world has come to,' but in delight, 'Look what has come into the world.' They saw not merely the ruin, but the resource for the reconstruction of that ruin. They saw not merely the sin that abound, but the grace, but that grace did much more abound. On that assurance, the pivot of history swung from blank despair, loss of moral nerve, and fatalism to faith in confidence that at last sin had met its match." That is so cool. It's not, oh no, look what the world has come to, but it's rather, look what has come into the world. Amen? And that's my title for this morning, Look What Has Come Into the World. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can say this morning, look what has come to the world. Father, we have such hope, and we thank you for that today. And Father, as we turn to your word and look, I pray that you would just continue to stir in us a gratitude for the hope that we have in Christ. That you would stir up in us fresh revelation. And Father, that you would just cause the joy of our salvation to begin to bubble over afresh this morning for Jesus' sake, I ask it. Amen. Recently, I came across an article. It was an interesting article, and in which the author tells the story of he giving a Bible to a person who was in real need. And their life had been one disaster after another. And so the author gave the Bible and suggested that reading the Christmas story for this person would be a good place to start, since it was that time of year. And the man looked at him with a real surprise and said, "You mean the Christmas story's in the Bible?" But in a culture that's seemingly increasingly secularized or non-Christian, there are a growing number of people who have no clue about what Christmas really means. And in the world John, the gospel writer, lived in, was not so different than the world we live in today. And as John looked out and was about to write, he sees darkness. He sees those who don't know. He sees those who don't care or have made a deliberate choice to reject or neglect Jesus. He sees the Pharisees and the rejection of Jesus, trying to look good and respectable in the eyes of the people, all the while rejecting Jesus, the true source of life, judging those who don't live according to their religious rules or standards. He sees the hypocrisy. He sees Pilate and Herod and the cult worship that surrounds the Roman Empire, the temple worship, or the temple prostitutes. He sees the Roman Empire based on conquest and the thirst for power and wealth. He sees the immorality and the injustices and the godlessness. He sees the violence and the the discrimination and the inequalities that greed evokes. He sees the destructiveness of the behavior sin is causing. He sees the hostility towards God. He heard the cries, "Crucify him," as they tried to erase Jesus from the society he lived in. It's not so different than the society we live in today. And then he begins to write. And this is what he writes. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Let's go down to verse 10. "He was in the world, and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband, but born by the will of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John doesn't write, as he looks out and as he sees all his stuff, he doesn't write, "Oh no, look what the world has come to." But instead, he rather writes, "Look what has come into the world." Verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness," and I love this, "but the darkness has not understood or overcome it or apprehended it." And there are two ideas contained in the word translated, either as under. And if you look at the various versions of the word, it's translated as understood, comprehended, or apprehended. And in my opinion, apprehended is probably the best translation, because it says so at the notes in my bottom of my Bible here. Actually, they say, "or the darkness has not overcome." But I like that word, apprehend. And the first idea or truth that's being conveyed in this, as I studied this out, is that the darkness has not been able to apprehend the light. It has not been able to apprehend it. In other words, the darkness is not able to hold, capture, contain, or overpower the light. Amen? It cannot overpower the light. See, darkness is not a force or a power. It cannot advance. Darkness is simply the absence of light. Darkness is empty. Darkness can be scary, especially if you're in it alone at night. I could tell you a story. It just popped into my head. And we got lots of time, right? I had to get something out of my office, and it was here at the church, and I didn't bother turning on any of the lights. And so it was dark. It was very dark. And I walked into my office, and that was when my office was still over here. And I bumped the desk, and all of a sudden, somebody says, "Oh, what is it now?" And, like, scared the daylights out of me. You know what it was? Larry had put a little thing on my computer that when it wakes up, you know how a computer goes to sleep, and when it wakes up, the computer comes on and says, "Oh, what is it now?" Well, I didn't know he had done that to me, and my heart, see, darkness can be scary if you're in it. You know, if we go back to Genesis 1:1, we see in the beginning there was nothing. The earth was formless, and it hadn't been formed yet. There was nothing. It was empty. It was an empty void of darkness, lifelessness. And God said something. He said, "Let there be light." And you know what happened? There was light. into this formless, empty void of dark lifelessness, God said, let there be light. And instantly there was. You know what that tells me? I just was thinking about it. That tells me that there is no place so dark, so void, so empty that is able to overcome and extinguish the light. The darkness cannot apprehend it. The light overcame the darkness. In him, Jesus Christ was life, and that life was the light of man. It shines in the darkness, and nothing can overpower or extinguish it. You know this verse, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus said, I came so that everyone would have life and have it to what? Its fullest. Hallelujah. Darkness cannot hold back the light. In Jesus was life, and that life is the light for all humanity. There is no darkness. There is no place so desperate, so void, so empty, so lifeless that is able to smother or extinguish the light, the abundant, satisfying life that Christ has brought to humanity, to you and me. Amen? Nothing can extinguish that life, that light. There is no darkness powerful enough. The darkness cannot apprehend it. The light overcomes the darkness. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We got to think about that every once in a while, you know, because there is life in us. The light of God is in us, and the darkness cannot apprehend it. When I find myself in those places, when I find those times when I'm in those places of darkness or loneliness, you know what? The light is there. And if I will just understand that and look at it, you know what happens? The light begins to dispel all of the darkness because the darkness cannot overcome the light. He has come. The life of Christ is the light that is in us. Amen? And he has come that we might have life to the fullest. Darkness cannot hold back the light. In Jesus was life, and that light is the light. That life is the light for all humanity. Amen? All humanity. Drives me crazy when people say, well, Jesus didn't come for me, blah, 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 blah. And that life is the light for all humanity. Amen? There is no darkness, there is no place so different, so void, so empty, so lifeless that is able to extinguish the satisfying life that Christ has brought to humanity, to you and me. You know, as we look through the words, we see that Satan thought he'd extinguished the light of God back in Genesis chapter 3. And the truth is, he was able to deceive man, and the darkness of sin came into the world and into our hearts, separating us from the light. And with the light gone, what remained in our hearts was emptiness, lifelessness. And it seemed that the world was plunged into unbearable darkness, the darkness of sin, the violence of selfishness and injustice, nation rising against nation, man against man. And as horrific as it was, guess what? God again said, let there be light. And there was, and that light began to shine in the darkness. Because in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God announced a Savior who would crush Satan's head and destroy all of his destructive work. The darkness did not overcome the light. And as John penned it, in the light, Christ shines in the darkness. And the darkness is unable to extinguish it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. And again we can say, look what has come into the world. Amen? The darkness was also deep at Calvary. For 3 hours in the middle of the day, darkness descended upon the land. For 3 hours, Christ was forsaken. Forsaken by his Father as the judgment and the penalty for our sin was placed on Jesus. Once again, Satan thought he had extinguished the light of God, Jesus Christ. But even then, the darkness did not overcome the light. Not only did the darkness yield, 3 days later, the darkness of the grave was replaced with the blinding light of the glory of the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. It's not, oh no, what has the world come to, but it's, look, what has come into the world. You know, the same thing happened during the ministry of Jesus Christ. Remember that Jesus saw a man, a blind from birth. And this poor man lived in darkness. And Jesus came on the scene and announced something. You know what he announced? He announced, I am the light of the world. And then he spat on the ground and he made spit and he put it on that man's eyes. And when the man washed in the pool of Siloam, the darkness, his eyes were opened and the darkness was turned to light. He could see, his eyes were opened. The darkness did not overcome the light. Amen? You know what? No one, absolutely no one needs to live in darkness, because there is no place so dark. There is no place so void. There is no place so empty that is able to overcome the light. The light, Jesus Christ, can penetrate and bring life to anyone, any place, anywhere. Amen? No one need to live without light, without hope, or without love, or without peace. He said to all who receive him. And that's the first truth that says the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it or was not able to apprehend. But here's the second truth. The idea of apprehend also is to lay hold of. It's to lay hold of and to make one's own. So the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not been able to lay hold of so as to make its own. In other words, we read in John 3:16-19, we read, men love the darkness instead of the light. They refuse to lay hold of the light and make it their own. And you know, you read that and you wonder why. They refused Jesus, the light of the world. Why? Why would someone choose emptiness, hopelessness, and an existence absent of genuine love? Why? And when we see how powerful the light is, when we see the promise of the light of Jesus Christ, the life he offers, why would someone choose to live in an existence absent of his love, absent of genuine love or hope? Why would people choose that? I want to close with this story. Max Lucado tells a story about a tribe of people who live, and I love this story, but it's about a tribe of people who live in a dark, cold cave. The cave dwellers would huddle together and cry against the chill. Loud and long they wailed. It was all they did. It was all they knew to do. The sounds in the cave were mournful, but the people didn't know it. The sounds in for they had never known joy. The spirit in the cave was death. But again, the people didn't know it, for they'd never known life. But one day they heard a different voice. Voice said, I have heard your cries, it announced. I have felt your chill, and I have seen your darkness. I have come to help you. The cave people grew quiet. They had never heard this voice before. Hope sounded strange to their ears. How can we know you have come to help? Trust me, he answered. Trust me. I have what you need. The cave people sneered and peered through the darkness at the figure of the stranger. He was stacking something, then stopping and stooping and stacking more. "What are you doing?" one cried nervously. The stranger didn't answer. "What are you making?" another shouted even louder. There was still no response. "Tell us," demanded a third. The visitor stood and spoke in the direction of the voices. "I have what you need." And with that, he turned to the pile at his feet, the pile of wood at his feet, and lit it. Wood ignited, flames erupted, the light filled the cavern. The people turned away in fear. "Put it out," they cried. "Put it out. It hurts. It hurts to see it." "Light always hurts before it helps," he answered. "Step closer. The pain will soon pass." "Not I," declared a voice. "Nor I," agreed a second. "Only a fool would risk exposing his eyes to such light," another said. The stranger stood next to the fire. "Would you prefer the darkness? Would you prefer the cold?" For a long time, no one spoke. The people hovered in groups, covering their eyes. The fire builder stood next to the fire. "It's warm here," he invited. "He's right," one from behind him announced. "It is warmer." The stranger turned to see a figure slowly stepping towards the fire. "I can open my eyes now," she proclaimed. "I can see." "Come closer," invited the fire builder. She did. She stepped into the ring of light. "It's so warm." She extended her hands and sighed as her chill began to pass. "Come, everyone, feel the warmth," she invited. "Silence, woman," cried one of the cave dwellers. "Dare you lead us in this folly? Leave us. Leave us and take your light with you." She turned to the stranger. "Why won't they come? Why won't they come?" "They choose the chill, for though it's cold, it's what they know. They'd rather be cold than change." "And live in the dark?" she asked. "And live in the dark," he replied. This is the verdict, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to light, that it may be revealed that his deeds have been in God. And yes, coming into the light might be uncomfortable for a while. It might even hurt. But the question is, where do you want to live today? Where do you want to live? In the dark? In the hopelessness of sin? Or are you willing to step out into the light and come out of the darkness and admit your sin? And receive Jesus Christ and let his light overpower and drive out all of the darkness of sin. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Darkness cannot apprehend. It cannot overpower. It cannot put out the light. There is no sin so powerful that Jesus Christ is not able to forgive. Amen? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord." You know, as I look around the room, I think most of us understand this truth, and most of us have come into the light. For that, I'm overwhelmingly grateful. If you haven't, please talk to me after the service. But we are carriers of that light. You know that? Jesus said in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. We are carriers of that light. The light that the darkness cannot extinguish. And because of Jesus, wherever we go, we carry his light. And we can bring life, and we can bring hope, and we can bring freedom. Because his light is in us. Amen? I'll tell you one last story. And I was working in a garage. Canadian Tire, to be precise. And Danny, you'll love this. Before you were there. And at that time, I was probably the only Christian in the place. And I had gotten to a point where I did not like that job anymore. Anybody ever been there? I do not like that job anymore. And I wanted to quit so bad. And I remember sitting down in my chair. And I was praying. And I was praying for another job. And I was praying, God, get me out of this place. The injustices of that place are just... And as I was praying, God brought me into the shop. And I remember seeing this so distinctly. There was light. And that light, and I don't say this to puff myself out. It is the truth. That light was coming from inside of me. And wherever I go, there was light. But wherever I moved away, the darkness came in. I was the only believer in that place at the time. And God showed me, if I take you out of that place, there will be no more light in that place. And I was privileged to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with so many people over and over and over again. I would go up to the lunchroom and sit down, and if I was by myself, someone would invariably come up and start pouring their life out. And I was able to share the light of Jesus Christ. And it brought hope, and it brought joy, and it brought peace into some very, very dark places, because the darkness cannot apprehend the light. Amen? Not only do we have a Savior, no longer can we rejoice with the angels as they say, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. We rejoice in that, but we can join in with the angelic host this season and declare the very same thing. Don't be afraid. Born to you is a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, for he will deliver you from all of your sins. He is the source of hope and life and freedom. And there is no place, nothing that you've done, there's no place so dark in your life that his life can't come in. Amen? We get to be ambassadors of hope. We get to be carriers of the light of Jesus Christ, his very life that cannot be extinguished by anything. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. What a Savior. The early Christians did not say in dismay, look what the world has come to, as the worship team comes, but look what has come to the world. Amen? When you listen to the news, when you hear the reports, don't go, oh no, look what the world has come to. Remember and declare, look what has come into the world. His name is Jesus, and he will save us from our sins. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand together.